I would like to thank Harsha for inviting me and also acknowledge that we are on the unceded traditional territories of the Coast Salish peoples, which is basically what I'm going to be addressing today in a kind of a discussion of the political economy of rule in settler colonial contexts like Canada. So what I want to do is explain in my, or not my own words, but I guess it's my own words, why I think an anti-colonial analysis must be foundational to any mass political movement, including the Occupy movement. In particular, an analysis of the genocidal logic of settler colonial dispossession and elimination in the reproduction of capitalist social relations of domination and exploitation. So as an academic and an activist, I've not surprisingly found a reasonable place to start is with Marx's original notion of primitive accumulation. So primitive accumulation in Marx discusses the emergence of capitalism on a world historical scale, and he frames it as a two-part process. First is the gruesome and violent dispossession of non-Western forms of life from their means of production and subsistence. This is, of course, the land. This first primary dispossession then produces what we have come to know as the class of workers who no longer are living independently in relation to the land and their labor and are then forced to exploit enter the exploitative realm of the labor market once they have been stripped of their ability to live independently on the land. Now, this two-part process, so fundamentally the dispossession of land, which produces workers who have to now enter the labor market for their survival, produces a third requirement of capitalism, and that's the almighty god the god to the 1%, the capitalist market. So when you're no longer working on the land independently and you're no longer producing what you wear, producing what you own, that is taken, stolen from you by capitalists, then what do you have to do? You have to go buy that stuff back from the person who has stole it from you. So it creates the conditions for the market. Now, originally, what I want to suggest is that even in the Occupy movement, but in both the social democratic and radical movements on the left, they've far too often abandoned that co-foundational analysis, which looks at colonial dispossession as central to this process, and opted instead for a narrower focus on inequalities associated with the exploitation of labor. So you see this even in Marx himself. He sees the dispossession as this primary historical thing that happened at some point in the past, but now our struggles are as workers and in the realm of the labor market and exploitation. So often in the left, you see this colonial dynamic just kind of be shuffled to the side for this concern primarily with workers. Now, what I want to suggest that needs to be done is a reorientation of settler colonialism and the violent practice of ongoing dispossession of indigenous peoples back to a central component of our analysis. This isn't supposed to displace, like the left has often displaced indigenous concerns, the question of wage labor and the problematic of the inequalities that stem from it, is to resituate it alongside exploitation as a fundamental component of our analysis. And I think that a number of things happen when we resituate the question of land and dispossession in our understandings of what's happened here today. The first is that it becomes far more difficult to justify in antiquated developmentalist terms from either the left or the right the ongoing dispossession of indigenous peoples of their lands and labor and territory. So the idea being here, like even in like something as seemingly emancipatory as a gesture of reclaiming the commons, it becomes very hard once you situate settler colonial rule in our perspective, a reclamation of the commons when the commons actually doesn't belong to you. It belongs to indigenous peoples, and it is central to our ways of life. The second thing is you get to understand that it is, in terms of the radical struggles or the transformational struggles of indigenous peoples, it is the land, not the exploitation of labor, that is central to our analyses. The land understood as a social relationship, of reciprocity and mutual obligation, is the underpinning of indigenous peoples' freedom struggles and the underpinning of indigenous peoples' anti-capitalist analyses. It's the social relationships of land and the dispossession that has been violently affected our communities. The second thing that I think that we come to understand is you come to understand a better, a more empirically justifiable understanding of colonial history and the history of indigenous state relations in Canada. After the fur trade, indigenous labor became increasingly superfluous to the accumulation of capital in this country, and what became more central was the theft of indigenous people's lands for the purposes of settlement, capitalist development, and the entire territorial process of state formation itself. So we understand, again, by situating our colonial analysis of dispossession, you get an understanding of history. I think that is far more important. The last thing that I think it does is that it deals with some of the economistic sort of assumptions about the primacy of wage labor, and it opens us to a more robust intersectional analysis of looking at the ways the multifarious sort of power relations that are involved in reproducing this crap in the present. That is, the way in which racism, sexism, heteropatriarchy, state domination all intersect in order to dispossess indigenous and non-indigenous peoples of their lives, land, and labor. Now, I think one of the ways in which we can kind of take this theoretical sort of discussion and place it in an empirical context through practice. So what would it look like to recenter the land and indigenous struggles and anti-capitalist analysis into this movement would be to establish tangible relationships between those who would consider themselves as part of or on board with the Occupy movement and support through relationships of solidarity and allyship the reclamation movements of indigenous peoples all over this country that are happening right now and have been happening ever since the arrival of first settlers here. So the occupation movement has to shed its potentially colonial heritage by resituating itself in actual relationships of reciprocity and support by supporting those indigenous land-based struggles for their lands and lives again. And I think that, as Harsha had gestured to in the introduction, this is incredibly important given the push to exploit indigenous people's lands and labors through the intensification of resource development in the form of pipelines, oil and gas, diamonds, and so on. So these sorts of cycles of anti-colonial struggle of indigenous peoples are going to intensify in the weeks and months to come. And indigenous peoples could really use that support. So it's a mutual sort of benefit, I think. And this comes from, again, putting settler colonialism as foundational to how we understand what we're doing as part of this movement. I'll leave it at that. Masi Cho.